One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Welcome back to the New to Breed Podcast.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Well, my name is Max Fallis. God damn it, give it up for me. As I do my intro alongside my brother in arms.
Who the fuck is that guy?
That's the one and only Baby R Bagman. Give it up for him, y'all.
Good evening.
We're picking up right where we left off with our part 2A of our Second Amendment talk. And I got to remember what the hell I was just trying to say. Oh, yeah. So it's hearing it.
We were talking about the gravitas of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So hearing it in its entirety, I'll just backtrack because I said this off the air, quote unquote. Hearing it in its entirety, it absolutely puts it in a different perspective. And it also kind of spotlights the misinterpretations and the way it's marketed from different sides of the aisle. And as I was telling the Bagman, like, it feels creepier to have a lot of the pushback against it from the government themselves.
Right.
If a lot of the 2A stuff or the anti-2A stuff was coming from like a mom's group or moms against drunk driving, like people groups, it wouldn't feel as, lack of a better term, tyrannical. Like they're trying to close that wall in. And being that a lot of the people who you think and you expect them to know the full wording of the Second Amendment still reading it and say, yeah, but that only applies to muskets, or they didn't think about an AR-15 or whatever little workaround that they try to verbally say, it scares you. I'll just say, or it scares me that, like, y'all really are trying to cut this out.
Well, because the way it's been phrased in certain circles is they're trying to take away your right to keep and bear arms because they intend to do something for which you should shoot them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like you want to take that away from me because now you're going to do something bad and you know you'd get shot.
It's like
they're trying to fuck around without having to find out.
And yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to lighten it a little bit here. It's like when you know you're getting your ass beat when you get home, so you try to hide your mom and dad's belts before before they get ready to do it.
Exactly right.
You know you done did some shit.
We need to talk. Hold on, Mama.
My mother talked about beating us all the time. But the only time she ever beat us is when she said she wanted to talk.
And, like, you just hoping that they'll take a shower and not look for the belt that's hanging on the back of the door so you hit it underneath the kitchen sink or some shit like that.
And that's another good way to frame it, Max, because the other argument I hear all the time is like, oh, well, you know, if some kid runs around the schoolyard with a stick, you take the stick away from the kid, not give every other kid in the schoolyard a stick.
Nah. Well,
no, that assumes that you're the adult and the rest of us are children. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. We're the adults in this conversation, and the government is the child that needs to be reined in.
Yeah. That's a deep way of putting it, my brother.
So here's, and episode two, the second half of this episode, we intended to be the conversation on dismantling some of the propaganda that's out there. The other one I really enjoy is that, you know, the AR-15 is a weapon of war and no civilian has any need for that type of firearm and all this other stuff. So let's break that down into two parts. One, how many militaries in the world issue the AR-15?
None, because the AR-15 was made for the civilian, correct?
One, it was made for the civilian market, and two, it's a semi-auto only variant, right? Mm-hmm. So anybody else, any military in the world is going to have a select fire variant. with either full auto or three round burst or something that we're not supposed to have because of the NFA and those nonsense rules that violate our constitutional right. The other part is, if they are weapons of war, why do we issue them to police officers? Well, if the sole purpose of the AR-15 is to kill as many people as possible, why are we giving them to law enforcement?
Okay.
Go ahead. Don't hold back.
I'm going to say, because as a civilian, I believe part of the tactics of law enforcement is not bringing a stick to a gunfight. So you don't want to be underarmed. So you bring your biggest and your brightest and your best. So is there anything better to hit the streets with than an AR-15? No.
You mean you bring the best tool to the job for defending yourself and the life of others? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Then why are we tying the hands of people who are in that situation before the police arrive?
I can't.
Why are you playing on double extra legendary mode with semi-auto only and a 10-round restricted magazine and a fixed stock and no muzzle device that would aid in reducing the flash in the room should you have to use this thing for self-defense? Why are we doing that? Make that make sense in that context. It doesn't.
I'm going to say it like this. And it's not to disagree with you, but it's, again, my mind trying to find the different points of views and angles. I think that there's an underlining sense of, like when you told me the story about the California shootout and the bank robbers. Law enforcement does not want to be outgunned. So, I think the idea is that who's got the biggest gun? The military. After the military, I'm not saying this is how it should be, but I think this is how a certain amount of the population thinks. If you're not military, then you fall down to law enforcement. Law enforcement can have medium-sized guns, let's just say. And then the people get small guns. So there is a hierarchy of power that, while it's not right, I don't agree with it.
Dramatically favors government authoritarianism.
There you go. Because you don't want to bring a stick to a gunfight. And if somebody brings the stick, I'd rather it be somebody else. And I'll bring my AR. So I totally see what you're saying. Like, yeah, ideally, we should all be on the same playing field. Right?
Right.
But for those, quote unquote, in power, in order to maintain that power structure, you have to make sure that you have that 51%, while the 49% can be for everybody else. And you have to maintain that ratio in order to be what? On top.
Right. Well, that's why. Right. And if you're looking for a fair fight, your tactics suck. If you're not doing everything you can to stack the odds in your favor, you're making a mistake entering into a fight. So I get that. However, in the context of freedom, liberty, and individual sovereignty, all of that flies in the face of anything that makes sense. And certainly what was intended by the founders when they wrote that document. Right. And in the effort to preserve those rights for the people, we've clearly strayed off the path. We're way out in the weeds.
Weeds, I'm not too far no man. So that is. I will want from here, little boy.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying about, you know, yeah, nobody likes to have less than the bad guy.
Right.
And I would argue sometimes the good guys aren't always the good guys. Sometimes the good guys are the bad guys, and giving them an unfair advantage is a mistake. because you have to frame it in the context of how can this be abused? And I think that's what the founders were looking at. How can government abuse the people? Because that's what they just fought a war over.
So they made a
document. So they were not in favor of protecting government's authority. They didn't even like standing armies, to be honest with you. If you, again, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers are there's a ton of great information in there straight from the horse's mouth about the arguments for and against a standing military.
So they
and why a nation of Minutemen was a better option.
Because like a volunteer fire department, as opposed to a firehouse full of guys waiting for a call.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think to some degree, law enforcement was done the same way.
Hmm.
That it was people from the community that were kind of, all right, well, you know, you're in the town and you're kind of a big tough dude. So can you help out with this? Because this new guy rolled into town is causing problems. Can maybe you do something? Because you fight better than we do, or you shoot better than I do.
Yeah.
And it turned into a whole nother thing.
And all the good, not good morale wise, but all the good fighters became the usual good fighters. And it just became a repetitive thing, maybe.
Sure. And if you fast forward a little bit, we started at the Revolution, but if you fast forward to westward expansion and the so-called Wild West, a lot of the people who became sheriffs were former criminals. Like, they weren't always the nice guys. Wyatt Earp and his brothers are a great example of that. You know, and that's one I point to quite a bit too. People talk about, oh yeah, the gunfight at the OK Corral, and it was as awesome. No, man, that was gun control in action. The cowboys were not good people, but the Earps were there to disarm them for no other reason than we want to disarm them. And it turned into a shootout. So, have I strayed too far?
No, you
just, am I throwing too much at you?
I have no historical context for the gunfight at the OK Corral, other than it was a gunfight and it took place at something called the OK Corral. So again, hearing it, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, no offense, it's like, wait, what? So, wow, okay.
You keep bowing your head like you're in church. I'm sorry I put so much weight on your head.
You're preaching the gospel here, my brother. Pass around the hat, ladies and gentlemen. it's part of my thinking of like just lowering my head and not getting visually distracted by your mustache, so I can contemplate the words that you have bestowed upon me.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I actually now, after like hearing all of this, I do want to read the entire document like firsthand and see what I didn't know, because
there's a lot.
So, you know, it's nice having a quote unquote platform where I'm not expected to know anything, so I can ask all the simplest unknowing questions. So
sure.
There's 10 commandments. How many amendments are there?
Ooh.
And the reason I know there's 10 commandments because there's a movie. Not like nice. I know them all, but yes. How many amendments are there? Because first 10 the Bill of Rights, and then it continue on?
Correct.
Okay. So I got that
correct. The first 10 are the Bill of Rights. There's 27 total, and you've got some interesting ones in there. So it's worth going through and reading them all. There's a lot to it, and I don't have it all memorized. I have to be honest with you. I'm always impressed with the people who can just rattle them all off from start to finish and know it forwards and backwards. And those people that have like that eidetic memory that can hang on to every detail like that. I'm not one. I refer back to these things on a regular basis. Last episode, you asked me about the Third Amendment, and I should have known that one off the top of my head, but I don't hold on to it that way.
I would say to you, the listener, take a listen to, or let's say take a read, and email us at newtopewpodcast. Is there a podcast at the end of it? What's our email address?
No, it's newtopew@blackbagresources.com.
There you go.
Tell us. I kept it short.
tell us some of your favorite amendments and ones you didn't even know that were there, like thou shalt not put fruit in Jello. That is a total fucking sin. Never put fruit in Jello, people. Oh,
so I would be all for a 28th Amendment that raisins do not go in potato salad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know what we should do as a fun game? We should come up with 10 amendments for firearms owners. Like, thou shalt not savagely put their ammo in cans loose without boxes.
The 10 commandments of gun ownership?
Yeah.
That's our homework for the next episode for sure, then.
There you go. And if you've got any ones that you want to contribute to the New to Pew commandments, I think we should call it commandments.
There it is.
Email us at newtopew@blackbagresources.com.
Hey, you got a sponsor this week?
I think I do. I think it's Stuff and Things, because they make stuff and things. And if you use the coupon code, I think it's NewToPew, if I'm not mistaken, you get 10% off. I'm trying to remember.
10% off site-wide, baby. You got to love that.
10 is the magical number.
It is.
It truly is. I saw them make an announcement that the... What is their trigger called? Don't tell me. Wait for it. Wait for it. The shocker. Yeah, uh-huh. At least they released a box art. Yep. I'm definitely interested.
They dropped an image today, sure.
Yeah.
And this, we're recording this. We're probably 3 weeks ahead of when you're listening to it. So if it's progressed past that, you know why.
Thou shalt not drop a gun safe on their feet.
Yeah, that would be a personal one.
Yeah. I would throw it out there before a listener emails me and says, you know, thou shalt move the gun safe with steel-toe boots. Thou shalt wear PPE.
Phone a friend.
Yeah. Or keep it on the hand truck until you get in a position.
So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.